All right. Got to turn the echo. Got to turn the audio off, otherwise it feeds back. Got to get into bit overdue for a night dose and a fucking cuntish thing. It's part of my bring myself back from the dead fucking therapy. That fucking so anyway, might give my lens a wipe. That's better. Not by much, but it's better. Yeah. Got those fantastic little pills that sort of stimulate the flow of phlegm out of the lungs. And, yeah, so I haven't had any last night. And after being woken up by Jack the cat who wanted to go outside for a shit. Or a piss. Fuck. You ever get that stuff where you just go, must you? You know, Well, I've got a 4-amp, 4.2-amp, 5-volt power supply with 4 outlets. And and I'm going to fit 4 of these USB lights on the side of it, you know, like to, there's going to be one like there, one like there, and then there's going to be one over there, and sort of one over there, and they're going to provide side lighting for the camera. Because it really is important to appreciate just how beautiful I really am. Anyway, so yeah. So, yeah, this next video that I'm presenting, I'm not an unquestioning fan of Harleys, you know what I mean? I'm not a sort of, oh my God, it's a Harley, oh. Basically, all they are is it's a mode of transport. And I like big sort of lazy, not lazy, but like a very efficient general all-round sort of bike type thing. Very efficient, very well-tuned, set up for optimum gas flow through the engine. So you got really a lot of power starting to really come along. Where's my hand? A lot of power really starting to come along at 80 k's an hour. It peaks at around 100 k's an hour and then fizzes out about 120. Is about as good as it gets. And if you get, you make up a tune, if you make up a tuned inlet and a tuned exhaust system, and everything's set up so you got absolute maximum power at 100 k's an hour, you know, top gear sort of thing. Well, when the motor is not working hard to sort of run up a cliff, you know, it's not working hard when it's just loping along, you know, it's all sort of legal road speeds, all that sort of shit. Well, a nice 500 single is a perfectly good road bike. Whereas in comparison to like a highly tuned sort of little racing engine, 250cc motor, you know what I mean? It's the big low pop, 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 pop kind of fucking engine. Well, a Harley's are just a bigger engine, bigger version of that with better riding and seating position and better for long distances. Like if you have to commute, say, 200 k's a day or something, you know, to 100, 120, 130 k's each way, well, properly set it up, Harley's are. I don't know about the modern engine construction and castings and cracking issues and bits and pieces, but a nice big Harley just loping along at the legal road speed, and it's all tuned and it's all set up just to run really nicely at 100 k's now, where almost all of your power and your torque is concentrated with cams and valve timing and other bits and pieces, you know, not top end speed, but, you know, it means that when you open the throttle, you get overtake. It's just fucking full power, pow, straight past whatever you need to pass, you know. But and then you back off the throttle and it just idles along. So anyway, yeah. And, you know, well, this guy, the video I'm going to fucking critique sections of it, I think he's tried to do a good job, and most of that sort of, you know, a lot of stuff I just sort of glaze over and it just goes in one ear and out the other, you know. Well, many years ago I built myself a 45 cubic inch side valve Harley, which is sort of bits and pieces of motor, frame and gearbox were sort of from around the sort of early 30s to late 40s, 50s, you know. I don't know, but I built it from the ground up, and that was a WL, and the version of that for the Army was the WLA, which there was a lot of war surplus type stuff, but, you know, this is a Bitzer, this is the same fucking components. And because I was I suppose you could say, you know, a dole check junkie, you know, too screwed up to function, really, but, you know, I can build bikes. And so I had to make up a lot of my own components, the seat suspension and pivot arm and fucking front and back wheels, hubs, spokes, rims, gear shifting components, cables, all sorts of, just manifold, you know, or part of the manifold, you know, and fitting in a SU carburetor off an 850cc Mini. Lots of clever stuff, you know, and part of that was I had to make my own hand gear lever and foot clutch. And if I was going to do it now, I'd do a better job, but the job I did wasn't too bad, you know, considering. And yeah. Fuck, there's some... Anyway. What came out of all this sort of learning and, in, you know, you learn by doing and you got to make sensible decisions because really bad decisions will kill you and, you know, you might not survive it, was that... I won't go into too much name dropping or anything like that, but, you know, the thing that came out about all that sort of period and that education was that with, you know, hand gear shift and foot clutches were actually really fucking good. I never had problems with it, you know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, oh, I can't stop, you know. Because what they were is like when you put your foot on the clutch like that, is that if you went, it opened the clutch, but once you went past a point, it would sort of like cam lock, you know what I mean? That would hold the clutch open, you know, and you learn to read ahead. These are essential life skills, like reading ahead, you know? Learning how to read traffic, where you need to change gears, where you need to, you know, steer to and stuff, you know. And so I thought the foot clutch hand gear shift was wonderful. But, yeah, the Trump beanie. Well, I believed when Trump first came on TV, or not on TV, but on the internet, right, I believed the lies that he told me. I believed in the fucking crap, the showmanship, the fucking advertising bullshit, you know. And they had red beanies, and I like red beanies because they're red. Like, I bought one, and I believed in him, and I trusted him, and I believed what he had to say for himself. But over the years since that fucking time, Trump is a consummate fucking liar, and you know, he's a Jew fucking lick spittle, and I know, if the opportunity arose, I'd cut his fucking head off. Make no bones about that. You know, he's a sycophant for the fucking Jews. Oh, I'm the president of peace. Yeah, let's send, you know, another $1 billion of bombs to Israel. Oh, I'm going to stop the war. Oh, but we got to make fucking more bombs and guns and aircraft and fucking, you know, gonna fuck those fucking Palestinians over. Yeah. Oh, yes. And do every fucking legitimate looking, you know, process with all the other fucking Jews in fucking the USA, you know. So, yeah, I'll cut his fucking head off, you know. And anyway, him and the rest of the fucking arseholes in Congress, you know. Anyway, so I'm not going to throw out a perfectly good beanie. I'll continue to wear it. But, you know, it's not a bad beanie. It's a good fit, you know. It's a good fitting beanie. I like it. But, you know, Trump can go fuck himself.
Have your vaccinations? No, they're, you know, they're safe and effective. There. Have another vaccine. They're safe and effective.
Zion, Don. But anyway, don't like being lied to. Don't like being shat on. And I don't like fucking just this Jew scumbaggery and mass murderer. They've tried to poison all the people on the planet with that shit. You know what I mean? It's not just, you know, some kid ran out from behind the bush as you were reversing down the driveway. You know, like an accidental death. This was deliberately a calculated and orchestrated plan to kill everybody that they can on the face of the fucking planet. So, you know, fuck Trump. Trump, you lying cunt. So, yeah. Anyway, back to this video. I'll put in the first picture. Is this guy part of all that learning about motorcycle building and all this sort of business? Was that, you know, I used to think that the sort of the open primary belt, which is the belt that goes from the motor to the gearbox, the clutch. There's the motor. Oh, how do I do that? There's the motor. Motor. Yeah, that was that side. There's the motor shaft there, and the gear, and the pulley, and then over here is the fucking clutch hub. You know what I mean? Over here is the clutch, and there's a great big V belt that runs around. You know, I'll just do this. There's a great big belt that runs around between the motor pulley and the clutch hub, you know. It's called the primary drive, you know. It can be either belt or chain, you know, chain if it's enclosed. But, you know, when they do big industrial sort of machines, from big electric motors to, you know, crushers or bloody whatever sort of machinery, they enclose them in belts because if you go into that fucking, you know, if you trip and slip and go into that, it'll take your fucking head off, you know. It'll take a fucking arm off or a hand off or bloody, you know, easily, you know. Some of them are big enough, you know, like on mining sites and crushers and shit, they'll just cut you in half, you know what I mean? But what goes on in the, usually the 80 cubic inch motors and above, you know, when they run them with open belts, the flywheels, there's two big flywheels inside the engine, and they have at, I think, 4,500 RPM, there's 90 tons of inertia, you know, and that's like, you know, like a fucking whack with the edge of a big steel plate, like with 90 tons behind it, just going fucking whack, you know what I mean? So there were many articles of people when primary belt drives became available and sort of, you know, affordable, sort of, Well, they came, you know, the initial first price, first on the market type stuff, very expensive. Then they became more sort of common, and the price dropped a bit. And people started using them, and what they, you know, there was a comments going around that people who prang their bikes or fucked up, you know, with their feet, with their left foot around the primary belt drive, you know, they got the nickname Stumpy because it had just fucking ripped their toes off and, you know, they'd have like half a foot left or whatever, you know. And so, you know, and the other part is running the open clutches. They're not so bad under a partial cover and where they've got like, they've got a smooth cover, where they've got a sort of a smooth, where they've got a smooth plate over the top and that's spinning and you can see that through a hole in the cover type thing. Because that's just polished sort of friction, you know. And but where they have those fucking nuts and bolts hanging out, the clutch adjustment, you know, they're bolts, big long bolts. They're big long bolts. And they have nuts on the end and they have tabbed washers, lock washers. And they have springs. So how much you tighten them up will determine how much leverage and how much force you need to apply to, you know, to sort of open the clutch plates, you know what I mean? So the clutch slides, you know what I mean? And when the clutch is closed, all the plates grip and you've got traction. So you got to, there's a bit of, a little bit of a balance point between releasing the clutch and the clutch, the clutch sort of engaging, all the plates sort of engaging, you know, developing a lot of friction between them, and the clutch actually sliding because those nuts aren't done up tight enough so the springs don't push hard enough, you know, and it's to compensate for wear on the clutch, you know what I mean? But what happens is with those nuts and bolts, the clutch adjustment fucking parts hanging out in free air, if you come down, if you have a crash on the, you know, the left-hand side of the bike, lands on your foot and lower leg, if the clutch, if the open primary belt doesn't get you, then the fucking clutch adjustment bolts just might, you know. And think of this as like a big fucking blender, you know, you got your, and they're spinning, you know, and think of it like sticking your hand in a great big blender, you know what I mean, and going, you know what I mean, so there go your fingers, but these are not nice cutting edges, these are to sort of grip your fucking jeans and rip, they might just rip out clean, but it might drag your fucking foot right into it. But, you know, you've got a basically an industrial crushing sort of blender, but with 90 tons of fucking power behind it, you know. You've got a big motor, you know. It's a, you know, it's a, that's like I say, a nearly a 1400 cc motor, you know, of and above, you know. 80 cubic inches is 1340 cc, but, you know, so you've got a, the same as a, fuck, I don't know, how much of the motors, were they the Evolution engines? I think they were about the Shovelhead engines. I think they had, I don't know, 80, 120 horsepower. Don't know, I haven't looked it up in a long time. But, yeah. So this guy who's going to do this video that I've attached to this, you know, I wouldn't call him a stupid cunt, but running an open primary belt with no cover and running an open clutch with all those big bolts hanging out the fucking side, you're so close to just removing your lower leg, you know. Missing half your foot or getting, you know, getting your lower leg, like as in meat and jeans and bone and everything, just, you know, it's just very, very, very bad. Don't do it, otherwise you'll get hurt. You might die. You know. So that's what I'm going to add to this video. All right. Thanks, guys.
Everybody wants to try it. Everybody has wondered what it's like to ride one. Everyone who is into choppers has at some point considered going to a jockey shift setup. So what's holding you back? Today, I'm going to show you how to ride a jockey shift motorcycle with no front brake. All the common situations you're wondering about. How to stop on a hill, how to deal with stop and go traffic, slow left turns, we are going to talk about all of it. By the end of this video, if you're not ready to rip that clutch lever off your bike and give this a shot, then I have not done my job. I'm Grease, you're watching Grease's Garage, and I'm going to help you skip the struggle. So what are we going to talk about in today's video? We are going to talk about all the basics you need to know for riding with a foot clutch jockey shift setup. We're going to start with taking off, how you get going from a stop. Next, we're going to talk about stopping in neutral and stopping in gear. For all you guys out there wondering how you deal with stop and go traffic, stopping in gear is crucial. So we're going to get into all of that. Another common question I get is, Grease, how do I make a slow left turn if I can't put my foot down? I'm going to show you how to do full U-turns with a foot clutch setup, no front brake. Don't worry, it's much easier than you think. After that, we're going to talk about one of the other most common questions. How do I stop on a hill? And we're going to go over two parts of that. Stopping on an uphill, which is what everybody usually thinks about, and also some things to remember about stopping on a downhill. And then at the end of the video, I am going to debunk the worst, most annoying myth about the foot clutch jockey shift setup that I have ever heard. It is so prevalent, so popular, that it actually spawned the term suicide clutch and suicide shifter, which you will never hear me say outside of right there, because it is absolutely untrue. So be sure to stick around to the end of the video to hear that myth get obliterated. Then, at the end of the video, if you're the kind of person who just enjoys watching some good old-fashioned jockey shift riding, I'll roll in a clip of me doing one of my favorite loops from that jockey shift angle so you can watch how it happens in real time. So let's start at the beginning, the takeoff. The way that the foot clutch jockey shift setup operates is just like a car. Your foot is working the clutch pedal, your hand is working the shifter. So press down on that clutch pedal, you shift it into first, which on my bike is backwards. It's going to be toward the camera. When you see my hand push toward the camera, that's me going into first, or if I'm riding, that's me going down. When I push away from the camera, that's me shifting up. So with the bike in neutral, shift into first gear, slowly start to work that foot up off the clutch pedal, and as you feel the bike lunge forward, give it some gas, and you are off to the races in first gear. Once you're comfortable with the takeoff, the natural next step is going to be how to stop. Now, when you're brand new to riding a foot clutch setup, especially if you're doing it with no front brake, the easier way to stop is to stop in neutral. So let's start there.
Here I am, left foot on the clutch, shift into neutral. Both feet are free to go right down on the ground. Show you that again. Shift into first, into neutral, left foot comes off, both feet can go firmly on the ground. All right, put the clutch back down, shift back into first, and we're off. And And then you can just come to these nice little turns and just slam those boards. Oh, yeah. Then hit those other boards. Woo!
Practice this multiple times. The takeoff and then finding neutral, coming to a stop. You want to do that over and over and over again to where it's second nature and you don't have to think about it. Once you feel comfortable stopping in neutral, you are ready to move on to the slightly more advanced version, which is stopping in gear. Now, while this video today is a very technical explanation of how to do this, once you've been doing this for a number of months, you will not have to think about this stuff at all. This will all be second nature. Don't let the fact that today's video is slightly technical make you think that every time you go riding, you're thinking about all these steps. This is just my way of framing it to you so that you know what to practice to get to that comfort level quicker.
We're gonna do three stops in gear. Here's how we do it. Left foot on the clutch. We're in first right now. As we come to a stop, I'm gonna tilt the bars left and the bike falls right. Show you that again. Coming to a stop. Right before I stop, bars go left, bike goes right. One last time here. Coming to a stop. Left foot is on that pedal. Bars go left, bike goes right. Now, once you're more proficient with this, you won't need to tilt the bars, right? I've been doing this for 7 years. I don't have to tilt the bars. I know how the bike is gonna tilt, and I'm very familiar with it. I'll show you that again. Still in gear, right? No bar tilt, just come to a stop. My right foot's down, my left foot's up. I'll show you that one more time. Coming to a slow stop here, and we just keep the bar straight. Left foot stays up, right foot stays down. Once you've been riding it for a while, that'll become second nature. Let's say this was stop and go traffic, right? There's a bunch of cars in front of me. I don't want to come out of gear. I just come to a stop, I go. Come to a stop, I go. I come to a stop, and I go. And I'm doing these aggressive stops to show you, even skidding a back wheel, right? Watch, I'll skid it again. Still, I don't have to put that left foot down. This is what I'm telling you. It gets to be second nature, all right? Even in a panic situation, even locking up that rear wheel, I can still tilt the bike the right direction. I've just been doing it long enough, and you will be able to do that too. But in the beginning, when you're coming to that stop and this is all new to you and you're freaking out, remember, bars left, bike falls right. Start there, you'll work your way up to what I was showing you a second ago.
Another super common question I get is, how do I make a slow left turn with a foot clutch setup if I can't put my left foot down? Even after years of riding, some riders never really master the art of the U-turn without putting a foot down. We get so dependent on being able to plant one of our feet that the idea of not being able to do it seems really weird. So I've come up with two different ways. One is the safe way to do it, and the other is the more confident way to do it.
Next thing I want to show you guys is U-turns, right? Here's the safe way to do it. I'm gonna find neutral. This is neutral right here. I'm gonna turn my head where I wanna go, and the bike is gonna follow. And then I shift back into first, and I'm off. Right? That way, if you mess it up, you can still put that foot down. Let me show you that one more time. Here's neutral. Dragging the brake a little bit. Turn my head. Bike follows the head. Shift into first, and we're off. All right? Now, the more confident way to do this, which I do sometimes, but not every time, is to leave the bike in gear and trust that you have this dialed in. All right? See, I drag the board, and we're off. I never come out of gear. You can't put your foot down if you stay in gear, so you have to trust yourself. And the way to do this is to turn your head. The nice thing about you guys watching this on a GoPro is that you're watching where my head is going. If I kept my head straight and tried to make that turn, I'd run off the road. I turn my head all the way and the bike follows my head. It feels very unnatural in the beginning. You just want to look forward. You feel like you're going to crash if you turn your head, but it's the only way to do it. If you don't want to come out of gear, you're going to have to turn your head. And you make a tight U-turn, just like that.
The next order of business is starting from a stop on an incline. Now, before we actually get into the technique, I just need to say a quick word about setting up your clutch. I did a whole video, which you can find in this card right here, about dialing in your foot clutch setup so that it is smooth and repeatable, so that you know exactly where that clutch engagement zone starts, where it ends, and when you step on that pedal, you know what to expect. It is very important when you're riding a foot clutch setup, especially with no front brake, that you know how your clutch behaves and that you can predict what it's going to do and where it's going to do it. So watch that video if you haven't, because it'll help you make sure that your setup is solid. So let's assume you've done that. Your setup is solid. You want to learn how to start on a hill.
All right, guys, here we're going to show you how to stop on a hill. The GoPro is not super great at picking up the steepness of a hill, but hopefully you can see what we're working with here. It's a pretty steep incline, all right? To do this, you're gonna have to go into neutral. So here's me finding neutral, right? I come to a stop, my right foot is on the brake pedal, the bike is leaned to the left. When I wanna take off, I'm gonna shift my weight onto my right side, put my right foot down, and I'm gonna shift into first gear. Looks like this. And we're off. Right? I'll show you that again. We're back into neutral. It happens really quick, and it has to happen really quick. So here we are. Again, we're leaning to the left. What I'm going to do is lean to the right. I'm going to put my right foot down, and I'm going to shift into first. Really quick. One more time, all right? Rule of threes. So I'm leaning to the left. The bike is leaning this way. I'm gonna lean over to the right, put my right foot down, and I'm gonna put my left foot on the clutch, shift into first. Here we go. And we're off.
We finally come to my favorite part of the video, where we can finally dispel the most ridiculous myth in the history of foot clutch motorcycles. People who have never ridden a foot clutch in their lives will tell you, I don't ride a foot clutch because if you lean the wrong way at the light and your foot slips off that clutch, you're gonna go flying out into traffic and get killed. Back in the day when they had rocker clutches that would actually mechanically hold the clutch engaged while you were at a stop and you'd put both feet down, those mechanisms would sometimes loosen up and they would re-engage the clutch while you were sitting there. This is where the term suicide clutch, suicide shifter came from. The problem with not only saying it about the rocker clutch, but also saying it about the jockey shift setup, is that neither of these things are true at all. And if you don't believe me, watch this clip right here. Here's what happens if you leaned the wrong way and your foot slips off of that clutch pedal. Here it is from another angle. I'm sitting here with the bike in first gear, and my foot is gonna slip off the clutch pedal. Let's see how far I go. But maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Greece, that's just your bike. So do me a favor, test it with your bike, even with your hand clutch setup. Sit there with the bike in first, dump the clutch, and see how far you go. My guess is you did not make it more than 1 foot forward because the bike stalls out basically in place. You do not go shooting out into traffic. You do not fly into an intersection and get T-boned. Where this myth came from, I cannot even begin to tell you, but I am very excited to remind everybody watching this that anytime you hear that from someone, that person has no idea what they're talking about. So hopefully, after this public service announcement, we can all disregard this term of suicide clutch and suicide shifter so that future generations don't have to deal with this silly myth getting pushed on everybody who thinks about running a jockey shift setup. For the remainder of this video, for those of you who enjoy watching the foot clutch setup in action, I'm gonna roll in a couple clips of some of my favorite loops around town from that clutch angle so that you can see what it looks like to ride along with me. Hope you guys enjoyed this video, and I will catch you guys next week.
Thank you guys for one of my favorite loops, just to show you how it goes with this foot clutch jockey shift setup. First gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, back down to third for the turn. Really getting after it. Down to second, hairpin turn. Drag aboard. Got a layer down, baby. Woo! Back up to third. Around the bend. Another stiff turn. Down to second. Another big bend here. We stay in second. Another hairpin. We're gonna go down. Laying the board down again. We come around the bend, touch board. Now we're coming up to a stop. Back down into second. Back down into first. We'll come to a stop in neutral. And again, we can put both feet flat on the ground. All right? You can ride very aggressively with this setup if you choose. Don't let anybody tell you you can't.